Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Thomas Woods. He, of course, is with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. I trust that most of you are aware of what that is. He's written a number of very significant books, including his latest entitled 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask. He's written a book in the past entitled How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. And, of course, today at lourockwell.com, you can read what Dr. Woods has to say in the way of an introduction to Murray Rothbard's book, the late Murray Rothbard's book, on what has happened to the betrayal of the American right. Dr. Woods, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark. Just fine, thanks.
Good. I guess there are a zillion different places we could start. Maybe we ought to start with the introduction that you've written to Rothbard's book, The Betrayal of the American Right. This is posted today at lourockwell.com. What, in your view, Dr. Woods, and in the view of the late Murray Rothbard, has happened to the American right?
Well, the significance of this book is that, you know, Rothbard wrote a zillion books in his lifetime and published, you know, more than 10 professors put together. But this book called The Betrayal of the American Right has only been published just a few months ago. It was in his private papers, and he had been looking to get it published, and he had been editing it and going back and looking at it for really almost 30 years. And every time a publishing opportunity came up, it always fell through. And so finally the thing is seeing the light of day. And the reason Rothbard wrote it is that starting in the late 40s and into the 1950s, Rothbard had thought of himself as being on the right. You know, he followed in the tradition of Albert J. Nock and all these people on what he considered to be the right. Then the 1950s came, and with the advent of Bill Buckley and National Review, he found that the right was changing dramatically, such that the old tradition of the right, which was to be very skeptical of foreign intervention and entangling alliances and that sort of thing, was really being shunted aside deliberately. It wasn't that it was just dying a natural death. It was being deliberately sort of euthanized, you might say. And that, in fact, Rothbard even believes, and Frank Meyer also believed, and they're not alone, that, in fact, National Review may have been a CIA front that was designed to get rid of the old right, the old anti-imperial, skeptical of foreign intervention right, and replace it with a right wing that is willing to subordinate everything else to a kind of a hyper-military presence all over the world on the part of the U.S., as Bill Buckley famously said, of course, that we need to have a totalitarian bureaucracy within our shores in order to win this great crusade against communism. And the promise always was that, you know, once that crusade is over, don't worry, we'll go back to being a normal country again. Well, you know how government programs are. You start them up, they never stop. And the military-industrial complex is no different. So Rothbard is telling the story about this transformation of the right, and what happened to the old right, and what happened to, frankly, to him, and it's kind of a sad story. What a lonely situation it was for him. There's no internet, there's no way to contact other like-minded people, and so it's an interesting, it's an unknown kind of chapter in American conservatism and in American history, and it's fantastic to me that it's starting to see the light of day.
We'll be back with Dr. Thomas Woods. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Woods has authored 33 questions about American history you're not supposed to ask. He is also the author of How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. Stay tuned.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today is Dr. Thomas Woods of the Von Mises Institute. You can find his website, by the way, at thomasewoods.com. That's Thomas E as an eagle, Woods, plural, .com. www.thomasewoods.com. You can also find many of his writings in a number of places on the net, including lewrockwell.com, where today they have published what Dr. Woods has written as an introduction to the late Murray Rothbard's book entitled The Betrayal of the American Right. You know, Dr. Woods, I got in on the Rothbard-Rockwell report in the 1990s, so I had an opportunity at that point to learn a great deal about Murray Rothbard that had been kept from me, I would say, by an establishment conservative press, and I'm thinking of things like National Review and Human Events, which either did not discuss him or tended to marginalize him. When I got into the Rothbard-Rockwell report in the 1990s, it became abundantly clear that there had been a real sea change in regard to the American right. What would you say, Dr. Woods, were the key tenets of what the old right did believe in?
Yeah, this is really important history, Mark, because I'm with you. I read the Rothbard-Rockwell report in the 90s, one of my favorite publications of all time. And I sometimes wonder, you know, of course, maybe your listeners know, Rothbard died in early 1995. And gosh, I mean, we can only imagine how much he would have enjoyed the Internet. And could you imagine Murray Rothbard blogging on the issues of the day every day? Would have been unbelievable. Or what he would have
particularly with this war going on.
Oh, I mean, he would have been the great spokesman of the old right, and imagine what he would have thought of Ron Paul and all the enthusiasm. It would have just been, it's just such a shame that we don't have him anymore. But, well, Rothbard basically said this. He said, the old right, as he described it, and in fact, as Ron Paul describes himself that way, by the way, because in an interview just this past weekend when he was in Tennessee, when nearly 1,500 people came out to that rally, he was interviewed by the some local television network, and they had the whole unedited version of the interview on their website. And he said, "I belong to the old right, unlike everybody else who's running in the Republican Party right now. I belong to the old right." And Rothbard said, "You know, the old right was kind of a diverse group. You know, I mean, they did have disagreements among themselves, so they were not a cult. You know, like the current situation where you, if you disagree on foreign policy, you're a heretic. You can disagree on abortion, on immigration, whatever, but foreign policy, it is kind of a cult. But you didn't have a cult in the old days. You had a very interesting group of people like John T. Flynn and Albert J. Nock and even H. L. Mencken, Rothbard identifies with the old right, people who were skeptical of the federal government and skeptical of any kind of crusade, whether it's a domestic crusade like the New Deal or a foreign crusade like a lot of the wars of the 20th century. The old right was skeptical. They were individualists, they were conservatives, they were traditionalists, they were libertarians, a whole bunch of different types of people all together. And some of them favored free trade, some of them favored restrictions on trade, but by and large they had a skepticism of federal government, and they favored decentralized power. In fact, Rothbard, although he was a libertarian, he believed in states' rights because he thought that if you want to preserve liberty, you got to take power and split it up into little bits. And so the first organized political activity Rothbard ever did was in the late 40s at Columbia University, where he was an undergraduate. He was involved in Students for Strom Thurmond. You know, so I mean, that was...
Yes.
You know, Students for Strom Thurmond had sort of the people you would expect in it, plus a New York Jew, namely myself. So,
well, you know, that's one of the things, Dr. Woods, that's fascinated me about Rothbard, is the fact that Murray was Jewish, and yet he was not a Zionist.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, he sometimes called himself like a pro-Christian Jew. He would constantly defend Christians who were being put upon by their enemies. In fact, I remember there was one case where he was sitting down at a function and a priest actually said to him, "Look, Murray, you know, I know you understand the faith here." So he took his drinking glass and said, "I can turn this drinking glass into a baptismal font if you just say the word." And unfortunately, Murray never did. But you're right. Yeah, his view, you know, because he was a strict private property libertarian, and he wouldn't have objected to private property transfers between people by which Jews came to live in Palestine, because that would have comported with libertarian principles. But by and large, that's not how it worked. I mean, the Jewish agency really was only able to acquire a couple of percent. But maybe 2% of the land through voluntary cession of that kind. So, yeah. So he thought that the way that that Israel came about could not be reconciled with the libertarian principles he believed in. So no, he wasn't. But yet, you know, of course, he believes in rights for everybody, but the same rights for everybody. Like, not everybody has the right to go, you know, kick people out of their homes and start a new country there. I mean, that's obviously not a natural right. So Murray had a way of irritating the establishment in many ways. But the old right, though, he really got started in response to the New Deal to Franklin Roosevelt, and you had people like John T. Flynn, for instance, who had been, well, you might say, more or less economic progressives. who, when they observed Franklin Roosevelt up close, in effect got a real education in the 30s and really began shifting more toward the right. And Rothbard has this very delightful little description of the old right. He said, I think of the old right this way. It really was a question of how much of the federal government would you repeal? Would you repeal just the New Deal? Or would you go even farther? You know, would you go beyond the New Deal? Would you repeal Woodrow Wilson's New Freedom and the Federal Reserve System and the income tax? Well, of course I would, he said. And then beyond that, we had other charming disagreements. Some of us would go all the way back and repeal the Judiciary Act of 1789 and perhaps even restore the good old Articles of Confederation. He said we had all these different differences of opinion among us, but that was sort of who we were. We did not buy into federal propaganda about its good intentions, about its wars. We didn't buy it. And now all of a sudden we've got this right wing that, you know, we'll sit there and listen to a Pentagon press conference and treat it as if it's holy scripture, for heaven's sake. They have no skepticism whatsoever of the federal government, except, you know, once in a while they'll say the minimum wage doesn't work. But when push comes to shove, they are more or less just apologists for the regime. I mean, what happened to the spirit of the old right? That's what Rothbard's writing about here.
Yes, and I know when I was reading... as a result of the Rothbard-Rockwell report, I got a hold of John T. Flynn's book, The Roosevelt Myth, and also read Flynn's essay, As We Go Marching. And those things really speak to me in regard to these present manifestations that we're seeing right now on the so-called American right, where it seems to me that the very thing that you cite has happened, Dr. Woods, and that is that a movement that was once, on a constitutional basis, very suspicious of centralized power has now become arguably the chief spokesman for the legitimization of centralized power in a way that would have been unrecognizable to people like Rothbard and to Flynn. We have a caller, Christopher,
sure.
In California for Tom Woods. Go ahead, Christopher.
Mark Dantoff.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm on Ron Larson's, Dr. Ron Larson's radio show Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
Great.
We're talking about 9/11, usually, and other political things. And Ron mentioned you a few times, and I just thought I would call in this morning and, you know, see if you were into discussing 9/11 at all. I think it's something that actually controls our future in many ways.
Well, that would be fine by me. Dr. Woods, you up for a little bit of a 9/11 discussion?
Well, I'm afraid not quite at this hour, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mean that to sound like a cop-out, but...
Yes.
With the Rothbard book coming out and that sort of thing, that's kind of the mode that I'm in right now, trying to promote that.
Well, let me take a quick question from Christopher. We're kind of on a different subject this morning, but go ahead, Christopher.
Well, you know, there's this question that's been looming. What if the core of the towers was misrepresented by FEMA? In other words, FEMA presented one structural design or configuration, and what existed was completely different. What effect would this have on request for a very limited investigation into the event at the World Trade Center, if that could be proven?
Well, I think it would be a very significant thing. And there's an essay. I don't have it in front of me, Christopher, and then I need to kind of steer back to where Tom Woods has us this morning. But there's an essay at Strike the Root, and I don't remember the guy's name who wrote the essay. I read the thing on the show here quite a number of days ago. But it goes into a complete summation of all of the reasons why there should be a complete reopening of this 9/11 situation. And again, it's at Strike the Root, and I don't remember the essayist's name. If you do a Google search on the thing, you'll find it. But I think what it suggests is that whether we're looking at the whole question of some of these structural issues related to the 9/11 towers, as Dr. Larson has discussed it on my show, or whether we're looking at the larger political context of what seemed to be involved in this 9/11 situation, is pretty clear.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Thomas Woods of the Von Mises Institute. You can read his introduction today at lourockwell.com to the late Murray Rothbard's book, Betrayal of the American Right. If you go to Dr. Woods' website, which is thomasewoods.com, you can read other things about his works, including 33 questions about American history you're not supposed to ask. And Dr. Woods has also penned How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. Tom, getting back to our discussion, and before I continue with that, I just wanted to mention to our caller from California that the essay that he would be interested in is written by Glenn Allport, A-L-L-P-O-R-T. Glenn Allport, you can find it at Strike the Root. It's entitled Top 10 Reasons for a New 9/11 Investigation. That's Glenn Allport, A-L-L-P-O-R-T. Dr. Woods, getting back to this whole business with Rothbard then, do you think, if we think about this for a moment, this was my thought last night as I was reading the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The opening verse of that chapter says something to the effect of, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in Hebrews 11, it proceeds to list a rather lengthy list of people in the Old Testament who did not receive in their lifetimes all of the things that God had promised them, which the text assures us they ultimately did receive. Now, in terms of Rothbard, when I was reading this last night in Hebrews 11, I thought to myself that in many respects, in his lifetime, he never saw the consummation of the fruits of his work. And yet here we are a dozen years later after his death, and we're talking about the Ron Paul candidacy. We're talking about the fact that through Congressman Paul, a lot of young people seem to be rediscovering the real American right. Is this going to prove to be, in some respects, a vindication of everything that Rothbard fought for throughout his lifetime?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, Ron Paul learned an awful lot from Rothbard, and they were friends. In fact, when Ron Paul and Lou Lehrman wrote the Minority Report of the U.S. Gold Commission in the early 1980s, they had a chapter in there on the history of the gold standard in the U.S. and, you know, the history of central banking, and that was written by Rothbard, and they thanked him in the acknowledgments. But that was written by Rothbard. He wrote for the Minority Report of the U.S. Gold Commission. I mean, the very fact that Rothbard would be in a position to write something for the U.S. government shows what an important figure Ron Paul is, because, you know, that would be unthinkable otherwise. But absolutely, because Ron Paul has done something that he's really not supposed to do from the point of view of so-called conservatism today. He has made young people especially, who weren't alive to remember any of this stuff, he's made them aware that there exists another way of thinking on the right, that you don't have to be a globalist, you don't want to have to favor countless, you know, war after war after war with no apparent end and more debt and a weaker dollar and a very shaky U.S. economy. I mean, you know, how these people can continue to wage these wars is just beyond me. But you don't have to favor that. And in fact, the more sensible position on the right is to be as skeptical of this as you would be of domestic intervention. That the government is not suddenly more wise and more honest and more competent simply when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, why would you think that? It has nothing to do with the right whatsoever. In fact, I've actually written I've made a specific point that if you read George Nash's book, The Conservative Intellectual Movement in America Since 1945, he says that in the conservative movement, he said, there is a group of people that he would call the traditionalists. And he says the three most important thinkers among the traditionalists would be Russell Kirk, Richard Weaver, and Robert Nisbet. Now, when you look at those three people, and here's what Nash doesn't say, is that all three of these people were in one way or another anti-militarist, or at the very least skeptical of the use of military power for anything other than purely defensive reasons. So they were not pacifists, but as traditional conservatives, they understood that there's nothing less conservative than war. And so it's interesting to note that, you know, here these people are the architects of sort of the intellectual movement of conservatism, and they would be more with Ron Paul than with anybody else. So Ron Paul is letting people know that there is another tradition. You don't have to be, in effect, a clone of Hillary Clinton. She's all for these wars, too. You can actually be a real, live right-winger, and that is kind of attractive to young people who don't fancy themselves warmongers and all the rest of it. They can actually fight against this. And, you know, I used to think in Ron Paul's campaign, he's got this on a lot of his bumper stickers and signs, says, Ron Paul, hope for America. And when I first saw that, I thought, well, it's kind of too bad they picked kind of a trite little phrase, but I was wrong. That actually is an excellent phrase, because it really is hope for America. I mean, this is exactly what Murray would have favored. That in the absence of Ron Paul, what would you have? You'd have, apparently, as far as the eye can see, you'd have nothing but war and more impoverishment and more debt and more financial bubbles cooked up by the Federal Reserve System and more instability. But with Ron Paul, you may actually have hope for America. It really works, that phrase.
We'll be back with Dr. Thomas Woods. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Protect your wealth. Call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Thomas E. Woods. You can find Tom's website at thomasewoods.com. That's thomasewoods.com. Once you get there, you'll see the laundry list of things that Dr. Woods has written, including 33 questions about American history you're not supposed to ask, and his book, How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. At thomasewoods.com, by the way, there are a couple of places where you can click that'll take you to some fascinating junctures. You can get a free chapter of his book, How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization, by clicking in one live link at thomasewoods.com. And, of course, we've been chatting through the morning about this important, absolutely essential reading for every person listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network today. If you go to lewrockwell.com, the late Murray Rothbard's book, The Betrayal of the American Right, is discussed. The introduction to that book, written by Dr. Thomas Woods, is posted there in its entirety. It is must reading. You should make sure that all of your kids look at this essay by Dr. Woods. and start delving into the life and prodigious writings of the late Murray Rothbard. I've discovered him rather late in life. I became a subscriber to the Rothbard Rockbell Report in the 1990s. Was very privileged to read some of the last things that Murray Rothbard wrote prior to his death in 1995. And since that time, I've been slowly but surely trying to make my way through through the absolute maze of academic information and analysis that he has bequeathed to us. One of the things I have not read and really want to read in my lifetime is Murray Rothbard's book, A History of Money and Banking in the United States. That's among the things that Dr. Woods talks about this morning in regard to his published introduction to the late Murray Rothbard's book, Betrayal of the American Right. You can find it today at lourockwell.com on the front page. Before we get back to our conversation with Dr. Woods, I want to mention once again the No More Wars for Israel conference being held this coming weekend in Los Angeles, October 12th through the 14th. If you want to register for the conference, you can still do it. If you'd like to support the conference financially, you can do that as well by going to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. And I suspect that the late Murray Rothbard would say that many of the denizens of the real American right, the real American right, will be out there in Southern California this weekend for the No More Wars for Israel conference, October 12th through the 14th. Again, you can find all of the information that you need to support the conference at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. Dr. Woods, talking about this whole business then of Murray Rothbard, one of the things that comes to my mind as I look through all of my old issues of the Rothbard Rockwell Report and some of the other things that I have obtained over the years since then as a result of everything that is in those triple R's, as well as what Lou Rockwell publishes on a regular basis, I get back to what I think is a key ideological conflict for the so-called William F. Buckley right, the Bill Kristol right, the neoconservative right, and it's this, and I think you've basically identified it for us already this morning. That is the absolute inconsistency, it seems to me, of these people who, on the one hand, want to say, yes, we are American conservatives today. We have a distrust of the federal government, a distrust of centralized government. And yet they turn right around and support a national security state that I think Murray Rothbard would have said and has said was in so many instances the antithesis of liberty.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and they would claim that, well, you know, it's only with a heavy heart that we support these things, and they're made absolutely necessary by the force of events, and what can we do, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's always something. You know, there's always some reason we can't have a normal country. If it's not one thing, it's another. They'll find it, whatever it is. And up till 9/11, there was a lot of talk in the 90s that, well, you know, maybe we'll go to war with China. Like, you know, that's almost like consoling themselves. Darn, you know, too bad we can't be preparing for some war. But you know what I think is so interesting about Rothbard and the old right, and now Ron Paul, in effect, helping to put the old right back together, is that, you know, as you say, the old right would pretty much, you know, nothing was an off-limits question for them. You know, they wouldn't say, well, you know, we've got this foreign enemy, so therefore we can't question the state for a while. No, nothing was off the table. And what we have now in our current political discourse among the Democrats and Republicans are countless questions that are just off the table, not mentioned by anybody, not ever raised. I mean, of course, the idea of a non-interventionist foreign policy is never raised. Like, we never even have that debate. The question simply is, should we do this? Should we have this intervention or that one? You never have the issue of, well, should we have this foreign policy at all? You know, which Ron Paul keeps saying costs us about $1 trillion a year to maintain this empire with 750 bases and over 100 countries around the world. I mean, you know, for heaven's sake, you know, be reasonable. But you never get that debate. But another issue that you never get raised, never, is the issue of money, the issue of the Federal Reserve System. That's off limits. Both parties will say, oh, yeah, the Federal Reserve is perfectly fine. It's been wonderful. It's done nothing but help us progress. But what you are not supposed to do is say, wait a minute, are you sure we need this thing? Hasn't it actually impoverished the country, fattened the pockets of elites, created financial bubbles in the business cycle, made the economy go up and down. Isn't it responsible for all this loose credit that is now, we're now seeing the collapse in the subprime mortgage market and all this stuff? All of a sudden, you get a candidate, Ron Paul, who's asking the unaskable. And you can only imagine how Rothbard, how delighted he would have been. Rothbard, one of his short books toward the end of his life, was called The Case Against the Fed. I mean, this question is not ever raised. And I am just beside myself with joy that here you have a guy who has political rallies calling for the abolition of the Federal Reserve. People are on their feet. They're standing on their chairs cheering for this. You know, on an issue that, as I say, normally you can hear crickets in the background. Like, you hear nothing on this subject. And yet here it is. He's actually getting people enthused about it. There's the old right, you know, just saying, don't you tell me there are issues we can't talk about. We're going to talk about everything.
Well, that's right. And to me, as I look at this, as one who is not an economist, certainly one who is just an amateur historian, I find myself watching this whole thing with Ron Paul, and to me, one of the most attractive things about him, Dr. Woods, and you've already mentioned this, is that aside from the fact that I like the guy ideologically, and to me, Paul is recovering the essence of what I think it means to be a member of the real American right with the real American republic. And I mean that because of where I am ideologically, that's exciting. But I think he also is appealing to an even wider segment of folks watching this presidential race who are saying, hey, you know, the thing about this guy Paul is, you know, he's talking about some ideas. He's talking about some things that need to be examined. He's interjecting some fresh debate and conversation into this thing, whereas everybody else running sounds like a broken record.
Oh, yeah, and a broken record that even when it wasn't broken, you didn't want to listen to us. I mean, I remember in one of the debates they asked, just as I could give a million examples, but I remember they asked Mitt Romney, Governor Romney, can you tell us one thing about America that, you know, disappoints you or that, you know, could be better or something? And of course, being a politician, what does he say? He knows that rule number one is you flatter the people and you never say anything negative. You never challenge them. You just flatter them with slogans. So that's what he did. He said, oh, I can't find anything wrong with America. And then he went on about amber waves of grain, and on and on and on. That was the answer that we got. And so, you know, my thinking is for those who criticize Ron Paul and they say, oh, you know, he's so out of the mainstream, who would want to be in the mainstream in modern America, for one thing? But, you know, my response is, look, if you don't want to listen to Ron Paul, then don't listen to him. If what you want is somebody who's going to speak to you in slogans and has absolutely nothing of substance to say and nothing to promote other than himself, well, you have plenty of candidates like that. Go listen to them. Go to a Mitt Romney rally, you know, with the seven other people you'll find there, six of whom are in his family. You know, I mean,
yeah,
go do
yeah.
that.
Exactly. And to me, one of the most fascinating things, and this has come up in my own family recently, my parents are very fine people, by the way. They're retired Air Force people, but they watch Fox News. Unfortunately, and Fox News, of course, has been doing all that it possibly can to demonize Ron Paul. And one of the things that, again, is fascinating to me when I'm talking to people that watch that kind of neocon news is they find Ron Paul's rhetoric to have a leftist tinge to it in the area of foreign policy. And as I have tried to point out to them, with reference to Murray Rothbard, we are talking, in the case of Dr. Paul, not about a leftist, but someone who is in the finest tradition of the old American right. And in essence, he is calling us back to the entire history of what Murray Rothbard fought throughout his lifetime.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, again, at a recent rally just this weekend, Ron Paul said, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm running against Woodrow Wilson. You know, I'm not running against other conservatives. I'm running against the classic 20th century liberal. The idea that, the federal government can't solve this or that problem. However, it can bring democracy to the Middle East. I mean, what kind of a leftist is this? I mean, this is a leftist foreign policy, if anything. But you know what? I even feel like I'm being unfair leftist to call this a leftist foreign policy. It's a crazed one But, of course, it has nothing to do with the sober tradition of American conservatism. Robert Taft, who was called Mr. Republican in his day in the 40s and 50s, would have had no idea what was going on if he were alive to see this, the conservatism today. And, incidentally, probably last week when the fundraising totals came out for the third quarter and Ron Paul had such a fantastic quarter, they announced this on MSNBC. Nora O'Donnell, who is very much a Bushy Fox News type on MSNBC, she was announcing it. It was like she was at a funeral announcing the fundraising totals that Ron Paul was doing well. And I counted those. I only had to count to two, but still, in 30 seconds, she twice said, now, Ron Paul, he is an isolationist. And then she went on to try to list things about him. But then again, she returned to, now, he is an isolationist, which, of course, is media speak for, we have decided that you are not to support this man. That's what we have decided, because he, after all, is an isolationist, and you know what that means. And that is not how Ron Paul would describe his position. And, in fact, who is a bigger isolationist? Who are bigger isolationists than the neoconservatives who basically say to the whole world, well, we don't care what the world thinks. We honestly don't. We're going to be an outlaw, rogue nation, whether you like it or not. Well, what has done more to isolate the United States than that? I mean, if you really want to get some kind of international goodwill back, you need a guy like Ron Paul. I mean, I get emails from people around the world when I write about him saying, I wish I could be an American citizen so I could have the privilege of voting for him. Now, could you imagine somebody writing to you saying, how I wish I could be an American so I could vote for John McCain? You know, who would ever say that? I want to come vote for Sam Brown back. I mean, who would say that?
Well, exactly. And Dr. Woods, I've even gotten an email from an Iranian in Europe who has had something published at Iranian.com talking about how excited he is to discover the Ron Paul candidacy, and that there's somebody out there who is not parroting what all these other mainstream Republican and Democratic candidates are parroting in this so-called race for the presidency. And I wrote this guy a very lengthy letter because I had lived in Iran years ago and my parents were stationed there. And I tried to underscore for this guy once again that Ron Paul is recovering the best of the tradition of the old American right. And, of course, because I had had some familiarity with Murray Rothbard, I was able to cite him and to cite Robert Taft and Albert J. Nock and John T. Flynn and some of these other people. And here's this Persian guy in Europe who, because of the wonders of Internet technology, is being connected with all of these incredible thinkers of the past simply because I, who am not a scholar, and I'm not an academician, and I'm not an economist, was nonetheless able to say to him, hey, you know, these are the guys you need to look at. Ron Paul, in effect, is becoming the chief point man for a point of view that used to characterize the American right almost exclusively. The American right has been hijacked since the end of World War II, and this guy subsequently sent this thing out, presumably, to all kinds of contacts that he had throughout Europe and throughout the Middle East.
Well, I think that's wonderful to hear. I mean, I would like the rest of the world to know that, you know, we're not all propagandized automatons over here in the U.S. We're not all crazy, and we do see through the propaganda just as well as they do. The thing that concerns me a little bit is, you know, Ron Paul's 72 years old, and, 20 years down the road, let's say, who will the standard bearer be? Because it's hard to see on the horizon. Ron Paul's really a unique case, how he has survived in the face of the establishment being against him when he ran for his second set of terms in 1996. Gingrich was against him. George H.W. Bush was against him. George W. Bush was against him. The Republican Party ran somebody against him in the primary. Paul blew him out of the water. I mean, he's a unique case. He's just such a man of integrity. People see through any criticism of him. I hope that the energy of this movement is going to inspire people, in effect, to take his place and to continue to lead us. And, of course, he's got several kids who became physicians, so maybe they can keep the torch going. Who knows?
Well, maybe this is where your von Mises Institute comes in, Dr. Woods, because it seems to me that in regard to the ideology of Murray Rothbard and the economic and historical base for his views, that maybe your von Mises Institute is preparing an entirely new generation of leadership for the real American right that will eventually assume the mantle of leadership once Ron Paul has passed from the scene.
Yeah, that could well be. We got a lot of students coming through, and they're students in the way that Ron Paul himself was. He read all these things that we have the students read, and his life was changed by them. So you're right, time will tell.
What do you think would be Murray Rothbard's take today on the Israeli lobby and their influence on American foreign policy?
Well, although I don't remember any specifics, I know that I'm sure I've read in the past that he was aware of, but not only aware of this, but thought that this was a baneful influence in the U.S. And you know, and his view was, look, I understand why people would want to have an Israeli lobby. I mean, I would. You know, I understand what they hope to gain by it, but I don't think that it's good for the American public that you know, an interest group that thinks about one country and a country other than the U.S. has this kind of influence. How can we have a...
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back. Mark Antox America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last couple of minutes of our conversation with Dr. Thomas Woods. You can find his introduction to the late Murray Rothbard's book, Betrayal of the American Right. That is on the front page today of lourockwell.com. You can also find Dr. Thomas Woods' website at thomasewoods.com. That's thomasewoods.com. Among other things, Dr. Woods is the author of 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask, and also How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. Tom, in the last couple of minutes of our chat here, I'm noticing something in your introduction today at Lou Rockwell to the Rothbard book, where you say that Rothbard came to appreciate the work of New Left historian William Appleman Williams and befriended a number of his students, including Ronald Radosh, with whom Rothbard later edited A New History of Leviathan, an important collection of essays on the corporate state. In Williams, William Appleman Williams, Rothbard found not only congenial foreign policy analysis, but also important hints of opposition to the central state in domestic affairs. Do we have here, Tom, a hint that maybe old right and new left may have some things in common that could lead to some very important political alliances and activities in the future?
Well, I wonder. I mean, I know there are some people on the left who, you know, are as appalled as we are at what we're seeing, and who are not Hillary clones, but real life people on the hard left, like people who write for Counterpunch.org, for instance, and they seem to be sort of interested. But what tends to happen is the left is so committed to a left-wing social policy and to whatever homosexual rights, so-called, and all this sort of thing, that their view typically, or what I find, is that some of these people on the right are anti-war, but they're just they're just a bunch of barbarians socially. So we certainly can't work with them. I mean, they would almost rather work with the neocons than work with some of us. So I don't think there will be enough interest in collaboration to make anything long-lasting and worthwhile come out of this. However, I will just say very quickly that I am, contrary to everything I just said to you, I am actually working on a book with a guy who would consider himself on the real genuine left, where we're bringing together some of the best and then typically forgotten, neglected anti-war writings from real live conservatives, with some liberals in there, but John Randolph of Roanoke was not a liberal. He was against the War of 1812, and we're bringing all these together in a kind of left-right cooperation, putting this book together that'll be out next year. I think it'll be called something like Anti-War Patriots, bringing together the best work of the American anti-war tradition that has fallen down the memory hole, and that's an example of left-right cooperation. So some things can happen. But I feel like most of our people are willing to work with anybody who's sensible and wants to stop the empire. And that's my view. But theirs seems to be, well, if you don't want to fight racism or whatever, then they're not interested in working with you. Well, you know, so I'm skeptical, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
One final question, Tom. If you had to predict, what do you think is going to be Ron Paul's performance in the first couple of Republican primaries and caucuses?
Well, I say keep expectations low for Iowa because of just the nature of the electorate there. But, boy, New Hampshire could be a huge surprise that would turn his numbers around dramatically. So, I don't know. I think he really has got a good shot at, at very least, a top three finish in New Hampshire, which would mean everything for his candidacy.
I'd like to thank Thomas Woods for being on the show today. He, of course, is with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. You can find Tom Woods' introduction to the late Murray Rothbard's book, Betrayal of the American Right, at lourockwell.com.